Repeat after me. Say, in my hand. And say, I hold the book of life. Say, according to this book, my life is destined for greatness. Somebody say, with the seed of God's word, I will produce abundant fruit. And with confidence, I confess that God has a purpose and a plan for my life. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you because your word is true. You have a purpose and a plan for our lives. And we confess through your word, oh God, that we shall come into that purpose and we shall fulfill that plan. Amen. For those of you that are tuning in online, listening to our ministry, we want to say thank you for taking the time to do so. And we celebrate you and we pray that you and your family are doing well and that you're trusting in the Lord. We do ask that if you have the time and you are available to be with us in person in fellowship, we would love to have you and your family. Can we say amen to that, church? Amen. Bless the Lord. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go with me to the book of John. John chapter 2. St. John chapter 2, please. Our topic is a continuation of last week where we were discussing how having core values can increase your value, which is your worth. I cannot state enough that our values are essential or an essential part to our daily life and the decisions that we make. Whether that be relationships, work, a career, education, and even politics. So for the most part, people make decisions based upon the values they have. They choose relationship by the values that they have and education. So values are essential. Many of the things that I've just mentioned are, again, determined by a value system in which we have. I asked the question last time, which was, where do people draw their values from? Is it from institutions, society, perhaps the culture, friends and family, or is it God? Whatever source we deem to be most important to us is where we will draw our core values. If I can speak for me, what is most important to me is God. And so I draw my core values from God, from the Word of God, from the relationship that I have with God. Jesus, as we had seen last week, and we're going to read today, he was very careful of his environment and the people that surrounded him. And we know this to be true because in John, which you should have, chapter 2, verse 24, it tells us that Jesus did not commit himself to them that was around him because he knew all men. He knew what was in their hearts. And can I say it to you this way? He knew their values. The contemporary Bible translation says that Jesus knew what was in their hearts and he would not let them have power over him. And one of the things I mentioned is that whatever environment you surround yourself with will influence your values. In other words, it will have a certain level of power over you. Does that make sense? Sure. Whether that be negative influence or positive influence, willingly or unwillingly, you give them a certain level of power over you. Teenage peer pressure is real. It is real. It is serious. And it can be good or it can be bad. Many teenagers who grow up in a good, solid, sound family can come in contact with other teenagers and under pressure be influenced to do the opposite of what they were told in their home. Right? Jesus knew what was in their hearts. He knew their values, and he would not then allow them the opportunity to have influence over him, or as the scripture says, power over him. I had you note that you cannot cultivate and create a fruitful increase without values. In other words, for God to play a role in our increase, we must draw his values or draw from his values. And the whole subject, the whole discussion, and throughout the year, we've been talking about the year of increase and blessing. And we've been focusing on this series entitled Cultivating and Creating a Fruitful Increase. And so then, if I want to increase, and I'm sure you also want to increase, I need to understand the importance of values, but more importantly, drawing my values from God, because if God's going to play a role in my increase, I need to have his values. We gave you a few things that are God's values. And I want to say this, I didn't say this before. Just like there is a fruit of the Spirit with seeds in it, and there are spiritual gifts, which all comes from one Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, there is also what I would like to call spiritual values. Fruit of the Spirit, spiritual gifts, and spiritual values. Here are a few of them. Holiness is one of God's values. Peter, 1 Peter 1:16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Then there is mercy or merciful. Luke 6:36, Jesus said, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. These are God's values. Are you listening to me? He wants you to be holy. He wants you to be merciful. And he wants us to be faithful. Then there is just. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible said, not only is he faithful, and he is also just. And then there is righteousness in Psalms 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways, the scripture says, and holy in all of his works. And finally, we cannot forget the one is, excuse me, that is most essential to us, which is love. Somebody say love. Love. Say it again, say love. Love. First John tells us that in chapter 4. Let me read it, verse 7. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that love is born of God, and they know God. So these are spiritual values that we must draw from. In the book of John, chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus talks about the disciples being cleansed through the word that he taught them. Now, that to me speaks of Jesus imparting God's values to them through the teaching or the doctrine in which he taught. The sole purpose of the teaching and the sole purpose of the doctrine that he brought a different doctrine, was to impart kingdom values, spiritual values in them. Just like with the disciples, we, if I can speak for you as well, at one point or time in our life, we didn't have convictions on certain things that we did. We did them anyway. We did them because we wanted to do them. Whether they were, it didn't matter if it was bad, we did it. But when we received the Spirit of God, we received the spiritual values of God, they brought conviction. The Spirit of God brought conviction. And so the things that we used to do, we're not supposed to do anymore. Does that make sense? Because of his values. Speaking in terms of the law in the Old Testament, the law was just a teacher, a schoolmaster. It was set in place to prepare the people for what was to come, which was Christ. But the scripture was very clear that the law could not take away your sins. Right? You followed it as much as you can, and at times it was difficult to follow the law, because there was no serious conviction within you other than what was on paper. You follow what was written down and you try to hold to that, but you would just go ahead and do your thing and do what you did again and again. But when the Spirit of God came within you, hello, when you got saved and you received the Spirit of God, you now had within you all of what values that God had was in you, which better help you to be able to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. Conviction. Spiritual values. The distinction we have in the world is that we get our value system from God. There, of course, are other values in the world that we can say are good, you know, having integrity and character and so forth. But none of those values should trump God's value. So we have to desire to have the values of God more than anything, is what I'm saying. I left off sharing things that we need to be careful of that directly impact our values. One of the things I mentioned is words. Somebody say words.
Words.
Say it again, say words.
Words.
I told you that words without conviction has little or no value. So be careful what you hear, because it can impact your values. Don't let what someone says, because they said it, determine your values. Words. 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good values or manners. But the next verse says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. He says they're allowing words without convictions to give them or to impact their values. He says, but when you awaken to what is true values, the knowledge of God, it will keep you, in other words, from sin. Does that make sense? Yes, we appreciate what we have been taught by our family and our parents, which, you know, the good things where they told us that you shouldn't say that, you shouldn't do that, and what have you. But there are some things that we have to make sure that we don't take on through traditions and through families that doesn't line up with God's values. Hello? We have to be careful of that. There are a lot of good things we can take from what we were told growing up, and maybe from parents and elders and older people. But at the same time, we have to match those things up with the values of God. Because everything that you have been told and everything that you have learned may not all agree with God's values. So words we have to be careful of. Let the word of God be your guide in everything that you do. His words, in other words. Words can impact your value. The second thing I believe we mentioned, if not, we're going to start here today, is our belief system. This will directly impact your values, what you believe, your belief system. Can I ask this question? Just think about it. What do you believe? And who do you believe? And why? What do you believe? Who do you believe? And why do you believe it? I don't want you to get all spiritual on me right now, because I know some of you there, I believe Jesus. Yeah, okay, we got that. Everybody want to get religious. No, but really think about it. What do you believe? Who do you believe? And why? Because there have been some people that you have come in contact with that may have entered into your life, and you just believe them gung-ho, whatever they say, that's it. So what do you believe? Who do you believe? And why? That is my question to you. Everyone draws their information from only two sources. That's everyone. Only two sources. And they both have W's. That is the source of the world or the Word of God. That's it. Those are the two categories. When you speak of the world, that's everything that is transpiring in the world, even the devil himself who puts information in the world. But then there is the Word of God. So there is only two sources in which everyone draws their information from. The Word of God is the best source of information because it deals in absolute truth. I cannot say that enough. It deals in absolute truth. That means every single thing outside of the Word of God is connected to a lie. Every single thing. Your education, your political views, every single thing outside of the Word of God is connected to a lie. And the only thing that you will find on this earth that deals in absolute truth is the Word of God. Two sources you get your information from: the world or the Word. What you believe will have a profound effect on how you think and what you do. And that is why it's important to know who you believe and why. Did you hear what I just said? It is important to know who you believe and why, because if you believe someone else or something else outside of God, it's going to have an impact on your values. And when I say that, understand what I'm saying. I'm saying someone or something that you put on the same level as God. Are you listening to me? Anybody receiving anything today? Man, I want you to think about this today. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, you can write it down, verse 16, it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Somebody say all. Say it again, say all. It says all scripture. So the next time somebody approach you and they want to selectively take verses from the Bible to challenge you, you just simply say all scriptures is inspired by God. And he is the one I believe. He is the one I believe. All scripture is an inspiration of God. And it goes on to say it is profitable for doctrine. You can teach it. For reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. So the Word of God can address every issue in your life and in this world. Are you listening to me? That's why you have to draw your values from the right source. You got to draw your information from the right source because it's going to have an effect on your values. It will help create your belief system. All scripture is an inspiration of God. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, please. I'm going to read it out the King James, but I want to read it also out of the Contemporary Translation. I think you're going to like that. Hebrews chapter 4, I want to start at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. God sees, he knows all things, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I think that's very self-explanatory. It talks about how this word in which we are feasting off of, the scripture, addresses everything from our spirit to our soul to our body to our mind. You get that? That's how powerful it is. So it gets, in other words, ladies and gentlemen, it gets into your belief system, in other words. Hello? It go beyond the physical and even things of the Spirit, if you would, and it just taps right into your belief system. That's what the Word of God does. Because it is meant to bring values, His values to you. Can I read the same one out of same verses, Contemporary Bible? Here's what it says. What God has said isn't only alive and active, it is sharper than any double-edged sword. His word can cut through our spirits and souls and through our joints and marrow until it discovers the desires and thoughts of the heart. Verse 13, nothing is hidden from God. He sees through everything, and He will have to tell Him the truth. That's what I want. Hello, somebody. I want the truth. Do you want the truth? Man, I want the truth about life. I want the truth about my life. I want the truth. So your belief system will have an effect on your values. They're both kind of one and the same, but you got to make sure whatever you're putting into your system is truth. Hello? It is possible, according to Scripture, and we all know this from experience, for people to believe a lie. The Scripture says people have chosen to believe a lie more than the truth. Why? Because they have allowed words without convictions to get into their belief system and to believe it. I did just a little test with y'all last week. I used certain words, and you all giggle and laugh, and then I said a certain name, and then there was a different kind of reaction. Why is that? Based upon the information that you received. That's all that was. Your belief system has a direct impact on your values. You got to have the right beliefs system. John chapter 11. Everybody go there. John chapter 11. Please bear with me. I got a couple more. I'm going to let you go. John chapter 11. Somebody say, God wants me. Come on, say it a little louder. Say, God wants me to believe what He believes. Exactly. All right. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. 26. And whosoever lives and believes in me, he says, shall never die. And then he asks the question at the end. Do you believe it? He says, do you believe it? Do you believe that I'm everything you need? Do you believe that? I know you call me Abba, you call me Daddy God, but do you really believe that I am your source of life? He says, I am it. The resurrection, I'm the life, I'm everything that you will ever need. And then he closed it by, do you believe that? Belief is part of your belief system, ladies and gentlemen. Is that truly anchored? Is that belief in God as your source, as God as your provider, as God as your protector, as God as your healer, as God as your deliverer? Is that belief source of believing in God is truly anchored in your belief system? Because you will tell when tough times come. You will tell when things get hard. You will tell when you don't have much. Is it truly anchored in your belief system that through it all, no matter what, I believe? Something worth thinking about. Your belief system impacts your value. Jesus said, do you believe? And that's a tough one if you think about it. Here it is. Somebody, life was gone. Life was lost. And here is somebody saying to somebody, do you believe I'm the resurrection? Somebody say, God wants me to believe. The next one I want to give you here, note it down. Another thing that can directly impact our values is our identity. Our identity. Who are you? And where do you draw your identity from? What do you identify as? What do you identify as? I'm not talking about gender right now. Okay, I'm not even talking about ethnicity and the things. What do you identify as? And the reason why I ask these questions is because there are three parts that make up man. You all know it. Three parts that make up man, and that is body, soul, and spirit. Right? And these three parts, only one, listen to me, is the real you. Do I need to say it again? Three parts that make up you, your body, your soul, and your spirit. And of these three parts, only one is the real you. So the question is, who are you? Because who you believe you are is where you're living from. I mean, if you identify with yourself as just flesh and blood, then according to the scripture, God says, I have called you gods, but you are living like mere men, and you will die like men. You will die just like flesh and blood and really not know who you are. But rather, he said, you are the offspring. You are the child of God. Who are you? Who do you identify as? Are you just dirt? Clay? Are you just a soul? Your identity will have an impact on your values. For those who simply believe that they are flesh and blood or just dirt, they don't have a sincere value for life. So if you're just dirt, I'm just dirt, then it's fine to let someone have a child at full terms, 9 months, and then destroy that dirt. It's just dirt. So go ahead and carry it for 9 months, give birth to it, and then kill it. It's just dirt. It's happening all the time. Your identity impacts your values. Romans chapter 8. Just write it down. I was going to read it, but time is getting away. You can write down Romans chapter 8. You can read it. Verse 9 to 16, it talks about, for as many that are led of the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For as many that are led of the Spirit of God. Somebody say spiritual values. For as many that are led of the Spirit of God has the spiritual values of God. They are the sons of God. That's who you are. That's who you are. You are a spiritual child of God. That's who you really are. And that's where you draw your values from. Can you say amen? I want to move on and give you this last one. You can note it down. Another thing that directly impacts our values is our own words. We talked about words earlier, but specifically now, it is your own words that proceed out of your mouth that impacts your values. Let me prove it to you. What do you say about yourself? Do you say enough encouraging things about yourself? I mean, what's your words like when you look in the mirror and you look at that person? What's your words like? If you entered into a competition, let's say a marathon, a track, or whatever, you was going to compete, and someone started saying to you, you'll never succeed, you'll never make it, or you'll never finish, or you can't do it, and you turn around and you say, yes, I can, which words will have more of an impact on you? Their words or your words? Hopefully your words. Now, if you agree with them, it's not so much of what they said, it's what you say. Are you listening to me? So they can tell me or say to me all they want, I'll never succeed. They can say all they want, I'll never make it. They can say all they want, I'll never do better. As long as I don't say it. Because it is my words that impact my values. Are you listening to Pastor today? It's my words that unpack my values. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 14, it says, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruits of his mouth. His mouth, not their mouth, his mouth. And the recompense of man's hand shall be rendered unto him. The contemporary translation says, we are rewarded or punished for what we say. What do you say about yourself? Do you say enough encouraging things about yourself? Or is many of the words that you use are words opposite of what God would use? Repeat after me. Say, God wants me to believe what he believes. I want to close here, and I want everybody to get it. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to close here. Hebrews chapter 13. You will increase in your fruitfulness as you understand your values, because your values will have a value on yours, your worth. If you would go with me in closing, Hebrews chapter 13, it probably should be in the book of Hebrews anyway, and I want to read verse 15, and I'm going to let you go. Start there. It says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice, here's what I like here, God is what? Well pleased. With what sacrifice? The fruit of your lips. Did you read the same thing I read? He is well pleased with what such sacrifice? What sacrifice? The fruit of your lips. He is well pleased by the words that you speak. He is well pleased by what you say about yourself. Because it's your words that can have an impact on your own values. And I want to encourage you today, whatever you've been saying about yourself that the Spirit of God doesn't agree with, stop saying it. Stop saying what they used to say to you when you were little. Stop saying what they used to say to you because of how you look. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God or the Spirit of God that is in you, then stop saying it. Because everybody else can say what they want to say, but it is what you say. Anybody hearing me? It is what you say about yourself. And you have enough scripture in the Word of God. You have the values of God's Spirit to encourage your life to believe that any and everything is possible. It pleases God that you have the right fruits coming from your lips. The Spirit of God is speaking to somebody today. It is time you start changing the way you speak about yourself. And I promise you, your values will change. Can you say amen? Can you close your books? Stand to your feet. Let's pray.